With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To Border, the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Voted on by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, the award-winning Wendy's Big Show.
Let's get ready to rock. Let's get ready to go. Get set. Get up. Let's get it on with
the Wendy's Big Show.
Come on, showtime, baby.
Where's the ball?
Showtime.
This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler.
Well, it's the Big Show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
And welcome back, Wisconsin. It is a Friday edition of the Wendy's Big Show. And don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. After every Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small frosty. No purchase necessary. Offer only good for 24 hours after a win, so act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. There's going to be a lot of Bucks victories today, so many opportunities to get free frosties. And we'll talk some fantasy football now. You guys can jump in here. I know you're it's sort of a week-long thing in fantasy management or maintenance, if you will. Van Horn direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. That's 855-830-8648. And we welcome in on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, by the way, hiring drivers right now. More information, call 1-800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 800-44-PRIDE or schneiderjobs.com. He joins us. Let's see. Ian Harditz, we've talked before, and I'm just looking at my notes, and my first question here is, when... for Saquon Barkley. When does this guy go? I mean, come on, Ian.
I mean, yeah, he's ruled out with an injury. If you saw the flukiness of him just accidentally stepping on his teammate's foot a couple weeks ago, I mean, you know, you can blame the guy and just say you knew he was going to be injury prone and this or that, but it truly just is unfortunate. What we did see last week, though, and it's kind of become a recurring theme with some of these backup running backs, is, you know, you can make an argument, at least in fantasy football and in today's NFL, that you have to play by the salary cap. Unless you're Derrick Henry, the idea that running backs don't matter does tend to hold up a little bit, because if you have a guy getting 20 touches, it just doesn't really matter who it is. There's a good point, there's a good chance they're going to be putting up some serious production. So last week for the Giants specifically, no, Devontae Booker did not have a huge week, but we got to be confident going back to the well with him, because 71% snaps, 12 carries, 4 targets in a game that the Giants were getting blown out in. That's just about as elite of usage as we could be asking for. So I know this Giants offense hasn't been pretty. They got more injuries with Sterling Shepard having a setback. Tony ruled out. Kenny Galladay ruled out. But I think Devontae Booker is the only source of consistency right now that we can find there in New York.
Yeah, and Ian, you guys have Pro Football Focus. I mean, you're breaking it all down on a regular basis. But I will say this, being, you know, a fantasy football player since, as you and I have discussed in the past, since the late 80s, we see that there's more maintenance that has to occur, you know, throughout the week. It's not just your plug-and-play lineup anymore. I mean, we've seen the NFL evolve to the two-headed monster. You remember those days about a decade ago when fantasy football players were just freaking out and saying, oh, why two? Why, where are the three and four down backs here? That's just not the case anymore in fantasy football. And the other thing, as I said, you got to take a look at it on Tuesdays. And you have to take a look at it on Wednesdays because there's the Thursday game. You know, you're staring down the barrel of that gun on Thursdays. And then, of course, over the weekend, you get the final injury reports on Friday. It's a constant thing.
It certainly is, but you know what? You got to stay on top of it if you want to go get that first-place championship, because if you aren't, then someone else will be. You know, look, obviously I'm biased towards fantasy football. It's what pays the
Me
bills.
Too.
Is what I truly love. And, you know, as someone that has tried playing fantasy baseball, playing fantasy basketball, I will still take fantasy football 10 out of 10 times. So, I mean, when you got to update all that stuff truly day after day with some of those other sports, I think that's where it gets awfully ridiculous in a hurry. But it's a great point about just kind of evolution of the running back position. Back in the year 2000, 19 different running backs had at least 300 touches. Last year, four running backs had over 300 touches. So it really is just more of a committee system these days, which makes all the sense in the world in real life. Again, like in a salary cap league, I do think there's some credence to the idea that you do probably want to devote fewer resources to running back than you would other positions. So with that in mind, if you can get 95% of a Christian McCaffrey by paying three different guys, you know, a fraction of his cost, and just kind of using those three parts to help try to equal the sum of one player on a different team, I can't get behind that. Makes it for an awfully frustrating fantasy experience from time to time. I would just say really try to focus on those exceptions when you see guys like Devontae Booker, like D'Ernest Johnson last night, leaping to the top of an uneven depth chart, or just quite simply finding the backs that catch passes, because I don't really agree with fantasy football rewarding an entire full point for the simple act of catching a football, but they do, and it's the game we play. So that does allow guys like J.D. McKissic, Nyheim Hines from week to week to provide more value, because historically it takes about 2.7 carries to get the expected fantasy value of just one target. So passing league, we all know that, and it really has carried over into fantasy as well.
Yeah, and those that aren't familiar with it, that's the PPR format. That's a point per reception, and I agree with you. I think we want to get it to the point where it's as similar the output on your fantasy ledger as it is on the football field. And we're getting closer. We definitely are. If you have a question for Ian, you can certainly join us. Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. Get a little jump on the competition, maybe a waiver claim, maybe there's a trade you want to bounce off of us, et cetera. Some of the surprises here and you know, in a positive vein, and some of the disappointments. We'll start with the quarterback position here. I would say that Jameis Winston has surprised. I would say that Derek Carr has surprised fantasy owners. But on the other hand, Ryan Tannehill owners, and that may be by virtue of Derek Henry, that may be a disappointment. But your thoughts on that quarterback position? I mentioned a couple there.
Yeah, with Tannehill, he really hasn't been bad this year in real life. He's PFF's ninth highest graded passer, but you said it. I mean, Derrick Henry is just going to be a world beater week in and week out. It's a little bit harder for the passing game to go get theirs. Obviously, A.J. Brown having to play through the hamstring injury and then dealing with, you know, the Chipotle aftermath of getting food poisoning from that hasn't helped. And then Julio Jones now has been in and out of the lineup with a hamstring injury. So hopefully, maybe, just maybe, this Chiefs projected shootout is what Tannehill and this passing game needs to really get back on track. Kansas City, you know, as great as Mahomes and company are, that defense is pretty much on the other side of the scale in terms of how rough they have been this season. So right now, this is the only game total of the entire week above 50, and they're at 57.5. So expecting all kinds of points from the Titans offense. And with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones really within the last 30 minutes, both coming out and saying that they're going to be out there this week, I do think Tannehill is in line for a nice bounce back spot here. And then quickly with Derek Carr, because honestly, I think Tannehill and Carr suffer from the same sort of nationwide media just like when these guys have a mediocre game, everyone is so quick to just assume that it's like, oh, okay, they're back to being the pumpkin that they were, you know, a few years ago in the course of their career. When really, for the better part of even the last 2.5 years, both Ryan Tannehill and Derek Carr have been playing some excellent football. And that has carried over into fantasy because this year, yes, Derek Carr really laid an egg in weeks 4 and 5, but in weeks 1 through 3, and then again in week 6, Derek Carr was a top 12 fantasy football quarterback. So I'm fine going back to the well with Derek Carr against an Eagles defense that we've seen be pretty up and down throughout the year.
Yeah, Ian, my fantasy show in Milwaukee on Sunday mornings, I think the folks that listen to that show, they know I'm a big fan of, maybe not necessarily at this point with fantasy output, although he's been steady. I think part of that is he finds his way into the end zone, but we'll stay in the division here. And that's DeAndre Swift of the Detroit Lions. Unfortunately, it's a little messy there as they rebuild in Detroit. But you know, your thoughts in the division here, DeAndre Swift, I think he potentially could be an elite back in the NFL. How far away is he from that?
He does look special with the ball in his hands in the open field. Now, if you look at his actual like per carry numbers, he hasn't been nearly as efficient on the ground compared to what he is as on, you know, when going through the air. But like I was just saying before, in fantasy, like these types of backs are exactly what we should be looking for. And while the Lions, you know, just them being arguably the worst team in the NFL and constantly playing with this negative game script, no, that's not good for real life, and it's not really good for the real life offense as well. It is good for DeAndre Swift because the Lions just feed him the ball in those 2 minute, in those come from behind situations. So if you just remove like the actual production from every player and only look at their expected fantasy points, which is just carries, targets, regardless of what happened with them, like what would we expect these guys to rank based purely on their opportunity? Only Najee Harris and Derrick Henry have more expected fantasy points than DeAndre Swift this season. So what have we seen in past years? Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara and these pass catchers really just standing head and just standing so far above everyone else in fantasy. This year, Najee Harris is number one after with 46 targets among running backs. DeAndre Swift is number two with 40 targets. No other running back is above even 31. So Najee and DeAndre are pretty much our top two cheat codes at the running back position in terms of being able to get both that receiving upside and also the production on the ground. It's the same thing we see with these dual threat quarterbacks, your Lamar Jacksons, your Jalen Hurts. I mean, even someone like Patrick Mahomes, who still runs around a ton during the course of any given game. When you have a player that, again, is getting two different means of production, it's really hard for some of the more one-dimensional talents to equal their total production.
And real quick before the break here, Ian, there's a quarterback flying under the radar here that, you know, you look at his numbers and you say, wow, that can't be. But it's true. The fantasy aspect of one Kirk Cousins as, you know, in the drafts, or maybe you're grabbing him on the waiver wire in the drafts, it just fell and fell and fell more and fell more. He's putting up some numbers.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't want to hurt myself, pat myself on the back, but with Kirk Cousins, one of the big things we were saying at PFF before the year was with everyone wanting one of Trey Lance or Justin Fields, which I know, hindsight 2020, we can talk about if that would have been the right strategy, but basically trying to find that bridge quarterback in between getting one of Lance or Fields or whichever other quarterback you were waiting for. Kirk Cousins, to me, always made the most sense as the guy to take a late-round flyer on. Since week one of last year, only Aaron Rodgers has more games with 3 passing touchdowns than Cousins. Like, yeah,
that's
we do
crazy.
See the floor from time to time. Kirk isn't giving us, you know, a bunch of rushing yards. But just when you, again, even looking back at their schedule in weeks 1 through 6, they got the Bengals, the Cardinals, Seahawks, Browns, Lions, Panthers. I think we saw the Browns and the Panthers kind of emerge as better defenses than we would have expected going into the year. But it's not all that surprising to me to see Kirk have the start of the year that he's had. Now, I will say, I don't know that you're fetching too much value for Kirk or any of these other, you know, more stationary borderline QB1s on the, you know, trade market and everything. But after their week 7 bye here, the Vikings get the Cowboys and they're in Baltimore, in Los Angeles to face the Chargers, facing the Packers, the 49ers. That schedule toughens up quite a bit. So we will probably have a more healthy version of Dalvin Cook here moving forward. I do think we've probably seen the best from Kirk Cousins in the year 2021. But, hey, you know, he went out there and put up those numbers, and he should be applauded for it.
That's why you're on the air. Ian Harditz, Pro Football Focus fantasy analyst, because look to trade a stock value up in Kirk Cousins is what I'm hearing from you. Now, the waiver wire, we're gonna take a break here, but the waiver wire, you saw last night how being proactive will get you victories and get you a big game. D'Ernest Johnson last night, $1.46 and a touchdown. He was outstanding for the Cleveland Browns. Of course, they're all beat up, Chubb and Hunt and these guys, and they still run the football. Are there some waiver claims, maybe some deeper sleepers that you're seeing available right now in some of the percentages, especially at Pro Football Focus? We'll talk about that next here. If you guys want to jump in here, Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. As we're talking fantasy, you can hashtag it Big Fantasy on the Wendy's Big Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
It's week 7 in the NFL and week 7 in your fantasy football season, as you got to make some good decisions. You know that you're always going to be on the fence on a couple of these choices. Oh, man, what do I do? What do I do? And you sit there and you brood over this for weeks or for days, and then you go with that week's lineup and you made the wrong choice. And so Here to help that out a little bit, Ian Harditz, Pro Football Focus, fantasy expert. If you guys want to jump in here, Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. And you can hit us up on Twitter as well. And Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, Tim Allen in for Sparky today. Leroy's got a question for you, Ian, in just a second here. But waiver wire claims is going to win you Super Bowls in fantasy football. And it just trades and just moves in general. That Baltimore running game, I know they lost their top two guys, Dobbins and Edwards, way early on. But then they bring in these veterans, Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman. They all come in. They all score in a game. So making them at least, you know, maybe a flex depending on your injuries or your bye week situation. Who might be the guy? I can tell you just out of the shoot, I'd go with Latavius Murray. He's got a nose for the end zone. And so of the three, who do you like?
It was Latavius. The problem is last week, part of the reason why Freeman and Bell were, you know, also out there as much as they were was Latavius suffered an ankle injury, has not been able to practice all week. Baltimore is not releasing their final injury report until 4 p.m. today, but certainly trending towards Murray missing this one. And that means, really, I think the best of the bunch at this point in time in the year 2021 is Tyson Williams. And you can talk about maybe pass protection issues, this or that, but he has, just in terms of who's been the most effective with the ball in their hands this year, I think been the best one of the group. So ultimately, I think you said it, where none of these guys are more than kind of iffy flex spots at best. Am expecting Tyson to be elevated to the active roster if Murray is indeed sidelined. And from there, you're looking at Williams, Freeman, and Bell, all probably seeing somewhere between 5 and 10 touches, but ultimately all working behind the real top producer in this backfield, who is Lamar Jackson. So I don't think this Bengals matchup is anything to be too overly concerned with. But if you look at the Ravens this year, they really haven't been just the overall NFL's most run-heavy offense in the league like they have been over the past few years. They're still a run-first offense, but Lamar is a much more of a below-average quarterback in terms of passing volume compared like to the most pass-averse quarterback in the league. So ultimately, we got Hollywood, Mark Andrews, Rashad Bateman out wide. I think Joe Burrow and company could have a decent amount of success keeping up on the scoreboard. If you can avoid it, I think of not playing any of these running backs would make sense, because we can live with, you know, we talked about this in the last segment. We can live with two running back committees because there's only so many workhorses left in today's NFL. But when we have three backs in the mix in an offense that, you know, Philly, Baltimore, even Arizona to an extent, when you have a rushing quarterback taking up so much of the pie himself, it's a situation to avoid if you can help it.
Yeah, Ian, speaking of quarterbacks, can you choose one for me, please? Carson Wentz or Sam Darnold?
got you, man. I'm going to go with Sam Darnold still. Wentz has been playing a lot better, but the difference between Wentz and Darnold is if everything's going right for Wentz, they're only going to have him throw the ball like 22 times as he did last week, and we're not getting any sort of that rushing upside that Wentz has surprisingly shown at different points of his career. Sam Darnold was bad for large portions of last week, but those Panthers receivers and even Chuba Hubbard, they dropped 8 passes, which is actually PFF's 6th highest single game mark of the past decade. So, you know, you see the 17 for 41 stat line from Darnold and you like want to throw up, but just realize wasn't quite that bad. And I mean, I'll tell you what, guys, when things work out for Darnold, he can put some nice throws on tape. That laser he had to Ian Thomas to go ahead and force that game into overtime was pretty incredible. But the big thing with Darnold, I mean, this guy was first in the NFL in rushing touchdowns through the first 4 weeks, and last week he managed to chip in 48 yards on the ground as well. So manageable matchup against the Giants, and I think just between those two, Darnold gives you both the higher ceiling and the higher rushing floor.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the Ricky Seals Jones. I appreciate that. So yeah. If I ever see you,
I got you, man.
I'll get you a free bottle of that Leap Vodka. I got you. And it will be signed. Thank you.
Awesome. Nice, nice. Ian Harditz, Pro Football Focus, our guest here on the Wendy's Big Show. Van Horn Direct, toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. Ian, maybe a bigger picture question again, looking at some keepers. I know we're not even to the midway point here, but I was thinking about this the other day in preparing for the Sunday fantasy show. Everyone screamed about the rookie wide receiver crop last year in the NFL. And, you know, Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb and Judy and Ruggs and Mims and Rieger and all these guys. I'll tell you what, I think this year's is far better. When you look at some of these younger wide receivers, Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, some of these guys, Waddle, there's still Rondale Moore, Elijah Moore. They just keep popping out of the woodwork here. Would you take this year's crop over last year's?
It is very close. You're right. I think both classes have shown a lot of depth. I mean, we even got Terrence Marshall, Amon-Ra St. Brown, some other guys not mentioned that I do think could have, better careers. And I guess they've had, the first 6 weeks or so. The two just wild takeaways for me, though, has been the performance of LSU teammates Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase, because the numbers these guys are putting up both in fantasy and real life, they aren't just having, and this is Justin Jefferson 2020 and Chase in 2021, these guys weren't just putting up big numbers relative to rookies. They were legit and are, in Chase's case, functioning as top 10 wide receivers, regardless of how long they've been in the league already. So that's been the wildest part to me, like seeing Justin Jefferson on a per route basis basically be more efficient than anyone other than Devontae Adams last year. And now this year with Jamar Chase, I mean, looking just unguardable down the field. The only takeaway you have for these guys is like, how come their offense isn't throwing them the ball even more? So I get it. Adam Thielen's a great receiver in his own right, and the Bengals got Higgins and Boyd as well to throw the ball to. So only one football to throw around. But when you look at these guys' numbers and you already see them, I mean, Jamar Chase is the fantasy wide receiver 6 this season. So it just is shocking to me that we have these kids that, are barely even legal to drink at this point. They couldn't even be accepting Leroy's vodka before not that long ago. So when you have them just already, again, just really find themselves ranked among not just the best rookie receivers, but among the league's best wide receivers already. I mean, the ceiling for these guys, once they can get a little more ingrained and true, just becoming a true NFL professional after being in the league for 3 or 4 years, ceiling is truly the roof for both Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase.
A lot of fantasy players have been stung by a Tyler Lockett long touchdown. And I was thinking prior to Wilson getting hurt, I was like, why would you let that guy get behind anybody? Because it seemingly was every week he was doing it. But with the injury to Wilson, that's going to put an end to that. But DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, I think people are paying the price a little bit, and they see injuries can have a huge impact. Let's get to some social media here, Sam, as the hashtag is Big Fantasy.
All right, Nate wants to know, by the way, these are all full PPR questions for you, Ian. Nate wants to know, Rondale Moore or Tyler Lockett?
I'm still going with Tyler Lockett. I agree that obviously not having Russ in the fold lowers the ceiling here. But the problem with Rondale is right now in Arizona, they use four wide receiver sets more than anyone. But even then, it's only about 25% of their plays. Now, if they hadn't traded for Zach Ertz, I would think that Rondale could be more of a full-time starter, because then maybe they go ahead and go all in on these four wide receiver formation. But replacing their normal starting tight end, Max Williams, now who is on IR, with Zach Ertz makes me think that they are going to continue to rotate Rondale and Christian Kirk in the slot, and then they're going to have Hopkins and A.J. Green on the outside. Why does A.J. Green continue to keep Rondale more off the field? That's a very good question. I wish Cliff Kingsbury could answer for us, but that's the way things have been going so far. So with Lockett, we just have someone that's going to be on the field twice as often. He's the number two passing game option at worst in his offense. Rondale's lucky to be number four more weeks than not. So still taking Lockett there, but man, it's a lot closer now than it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, an interesting dynamic there in Arizona also, Ian, is that they may throw now more to the tight end position because of the acquisition of Ertz. Because they threw the third fewest attempts to tight ends this season. And maybe that's due to the talent level there. So now that they've got some talent, that may take away some of the targets for sure from that 3 and 4 wide receiver set there in Arizona. Sam, a couple more.
All right, Jack wants to know, should he go Taylor Heinicke this week or Jameis Winston?
Heinicke versus Winston. It, again, kind of comes down to volume more than anything. I am going to give Jameis the edge here. I'm really hoping that during that bye week, the Saints were able to put a little bit more on Jameis's plate here. He threw the ball 30 times in week 5. That was the first time he cleared even 23 pass attempts in a game this year. So despite the limited volume, he still had a 4 and 5 touchdown performance. He should have Tre'Quan Smith, one of his starting receivers, back for the first time this year following their week 6 bye. And that Seattle secondary, I just don't think it's capable of slowing down even an average passing attack. So Heinicke was giving us some pretty solid dual threat ability early on in the year. And I don't even want to hate on the guy, because you just look at this team right now and it's hard to expect much more from him, because once again, the starting tackle, Sam Cosmi, is going to be out. They're all world guard. Brandon Scherff is going to miss his third straight game. We got Terry McLaurin playing through a hamstring, Antonio Gibson playing through a shin, and Curtis Samuel has also been ruled out with the groin injury. So I know Green Bay's defense isn't exactly, 100% healthy either, but right now I just think the deck is stacked a little too much against Heinicke. I would take Jameis.
Yeah, I would agree. And Jameis Winston, hey, dude is having a decent year. I mean, they I agree with you. They got to let him toss the ball. And also, this year's NFL, that game is going to be close and probably a bunch of points and a flag late. And there's going to be all sorts of controversy and a blocked field goal and a timeout and a no timeout and a spike ball. That's a night game in the NFL these days. That's Seattle and New Orleans on Monday night. Ian Harditz, always a pleasure. They're from Pro Football Focus, Fantasy Expert. We appreciate the time, and the boys will talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week 7.
All right, there he is joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider is looking for drivers right now. Call 1-800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 1-800-44-PRIDE or schneiderjobs.com. And don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. After every Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small Frosty. No purchase necessary. Offer only good for 24 hours after a win. So act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. There's a new member of the Green Bay Packers defense, and we're going to hear from him next here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. It's the Wendy's Big Show, a Friday edition. Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, Tim Allen. And again, the Bucks are not playing today. They are playing Saturday against San Antonio. And you want to keep that in mind because they're probably going to win. You know what? I think it's safe to say they're probably going to win on a regular basis. I think that's fair. And when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. After every Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small Frosty. No purchase necessary. This offer is only good for 24 hours after a Bucks win. So act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. And, you know, we were talking last hour, gentlemen, about the weaponry and, you know, maybe bringing some guys in either, you know, through free agency trades or the draft to give Rodgers more weapons. I will say I'm somewhat impressed with the defensive decisions to kind of bring in reinforcements. And you go back a couple of years, but Preston and Za'Darius and Kirksey, and now this year Merciless and Jalen Smith. So that's, I like that. I like that part of it, because if it doesn't work, you're probably not out that much. But you guys' thoughts, Whitney Merciless involved here as the newest edge rusher for that Pack D.
What you got?
Big old strong guy, man. 6'4", 258, but it's a grown man. These are the guys that we've always wanted in the past for Ted Thompson to bring in, a guy that can help you. But what's so refreshing about it, guys, he chose the Packers. He could have went anywhere. And I think that's a good thing about it. But again, you know, a guy that can play with his hand in the dirt and play standing up. So I think it'll be a good pass. And he may get some rushes this week. But if he doesn't this week, I think next week. Now, he may stunt the growth of Jalen Smith just a little bit, Gary. But, again, it's another grown man in your locker room.
Well, yeah, but I think now that solidifies Jalen Smith to the inside, probably.
Yeah, just push him on in there.
And
right.
And then he'll
good
play
point.
That.
Yeah.
And Merciless now will be your pass point. Rusher. Yeah. If, you know, Preston Smith is banged up a little bit, if he can't go all the way, now they can split time. I like the addition.
Yeah, and a 10-year veteran just is excited to be in Green Bay,
yes,
a shot at a Super Bowl legitimately. And let's hear from the latest member of that Packers defense.
Back in 2012, Packers needed to get Clay some help.
Yeah.
And I really thought that you might be the name. The Texans made that decision 2 picks before, so they clicked Nick. Did you have a sense then that maybe this might be one of your destinations?
At that time, nah. Definitely not. I probably would have ended up with the Jaguars. That's what I heard at that time in 2012. But landed in Houston, been there for about 10.
Wait, did you happen to hear what Randall Cobb said after he?
Man, we're not gonna walk into that one. But I heard because I mean I was at the Texans and whatnot. But man, I enjoyed my time there. The fans, they embraced me ever since I got in there, and it was great, man. A lot of great players that I've gotten to play with during my time, and I've seen a lot of changes from Kubiak to O'Brien to now Cully. So one thing about me, I know how to adapt really easy, do what's expected, and understand the culture and all that. And, not everybody's the same. Everybody has their different philosophies and all that. So, and all you have to do is just be able to respect it. Not each franchise is equal. in regards. Everybody loves to do their different thing and whatnot. So with that being said, I'm just grateful to be here. Been accepted with open arms. Love it. The energy is it's amazing, honestly. It's like a, I don't know, it's like, you know, it just pumps new life, because I've only seen the same four walls for years, and to see something different is pretty cool.
While you were here for the joint practices, you played in games here. Was that in the back of your mind if there was time to move on?
I know, actually. I mean, I was under contract at the time too, so it wasn't really any getting out or anything like that. So, but during the joint practices, seeing the facility and experiencing just how the fans even embraced us being the opposing team and all that, except for game day. But it was real cool to see. You know, it's definitely a top-notch organization, A1, but at that time I didn't really think it was a possibility.
When you're comfortable answering, is it true that you took less money to be a Green Bay Packer?
Yeah, it's true. By much, it wasn't really that much or whatnot, but it more so, it's not even about the money at this point. It's just, it's more so, and trying to get a championship, trying to contribute as much as I can. You know, year 10, you know, for guys like me on the back half of the career and all that. So best option that I thought was coming here with a winning mentality, and definitely sense that here. And I mean, I just want to be a dog and add to that.
Whitney, with what you said about, you know, your time in Houston, clearly it seems like you might have enjoyed it more than Randall, but how hard was it to not see those four walls again? And to take us through Tuesday, getting released, how'd you find out? Did you know it was coming? And what's the past 48 hours been like for you?
Yeah. Did not know it was going to happen, to be honest with you. You know, went through the entire day, watched film after we got beat from the Colts. And then towards the end of the day, you know, Casario and Kelly came to talk to me. And as soon as their, you know, the Grim Reaper came to tell me to go into the room or office, I was like, oh, my time's come. You know, I wasn't really surprised, but it came as a shock to everybody. Also myself at that time, but to be honest with you, it was like, all right, that's fine. I've accepted as far as doing everything that I could over there. You know, I put everything as far as trying to win a Super Bowl, win playoff games, get to the AFC Championship. With different cultures as well, too, different head coaches. So I could accept it at that point, and see something new. And afterwards, Tuesday, well, that day, I mean, got a call, and KC called my agent. So they were interested, and then, you know, Steelers came later, and obviously Green Bay had called as well, too. There were several other teams as well, too, in that mix. And, man, it was for me, it was the first time going through the process, and man, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And I was happy that I was wanted elsewhere. Green Bay, obviously, man, I talked to the GM. I talked to the head coach, DC, position coach. I was like, man. And then I called Cobb up as well, too. And, it feels good to be wanted, you know, to use my talents and to be able to stand up in a 3-4. So it's been a blessing.
So it was shocking. But why wasn't it a surprise?
You know, just the direction that they really wanted to go, which I understand, like, I mean, everybody can see it is, it's more in a rebuild phase as far as that goes. A lot of guys on one-year deals, cycling through some players as far as trying to get an evaluation. That's not the direction that I wanted to go. I want to win. I want to win now. And so, that wasn't going to give me the best opportunity.
Well, there he is, the edge rusher that could make a big, big difference here with the Green Bay Packers defense. Should I say decimated by injuries? Definitely impacted big time by injuries. But the good news, Preston Smith, back on the practice field today, that would indicate that he's probably going to give it a go. He's never missed a game in his career, so I know he wants to keep that streak going. on this Sunday's matchup between Green Bay and Washington. Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line if you want to jump in here. A couple of minutes left, 855-830-8648. Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, myself, Tim Allen, in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer today on the Wendy's Big Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
Up hot and fresh today. Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, myself, Tim, in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. And we didn't get a lot of time to discuss the Milwaukee Brewers exit. And I promise you I will get to that for those of you in the Milwaukee area and for those of you that want to listen in as well on the Odyssey app, 1250 AM The Fan. On Tuesday morning, I'll be filling in for Bart Winkler. He's the morning guy down there in Milwaukee. And I will go over, and we will have plenty of time to discuss the Milwaukee Brewers situation. And as I said before, Sam Schmitz, I know you're a big Brewers fan. You were with me on a lot of the post games the last couple of years. An earlier than wished exit for the team here in the 2021 campaign, and a fine regular season, don't get me wrong. And you know, you had the no-hitter in there. You had the Vogel slam to bring the house down at American Family Field. You had, you know, the trades for Willie Adames and Escobar and Tellez all playing key parts of the success of the regular season. But then you got to mid-September, and here's where I took a little bit of an issue, but we didn't know it at the time. Okay, they were telling us we were going to rest guys, get them healthy, and okay, fine. You want to get guys healthy, but that had to be a tough balance and a challenging balance for Craig Counsell to keep the bats going at the same time. That's, you know, inconsistent in and out of the lineup. You wanted to make sure that Luis Urias still had some reps enough to – he had a fine season, too, offensively. But it all came tumbling down there as the offense slowly but surely in the last, 20 days of the regular season or so, 18 I think it was, really just declined. And it was a constant decline offensively all the way into the playoffs. And you get the one swing from Rowdy Tellez in game one of the NLDS against Atlanta. And that was the game winner, a 2-1 victory. They went on to score a grand total of 6 runs in the NLDS. You had some highly questionable decisions from Craig Counsell. And again, I may have tweeted this out. I think I did, that the Brewers, you know, congrats on a great regular season. But, boy, you're 1-7 in your last 8 playoff games, and the one literally was a seventh inning swing by Rowdy Tellez to win by one, a 2-run home run, and that was it. Pretty sad state of affairs. It was. And I gotta say, you know, in following and analyzing and, you know, being a fan as well, first really, I'm still somewhat upset by the ending of it. I can't go back, Sam, and I can't go back and say, wow, what a great season. That was so successful, and we should all be happy. We've been in the spot now 4 consecutive years. Gary Ellerson, he pointed out, you did, Gary, that, you know, it was, you know, it's a little different landscape right now, and that's encouraging, and it's a very significant point that you're going to run back the core foundation of these guys as they learn how to win, not only in the regular season, but now it's the postseason. Let's talk more on Tuesday on the Odyssey app and in Milwaukee on 1250 AM The Fan. All right, that's going to do it for us. Good job from Toby Altizer, Sam Schmitz, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. My name is Tim Allen, in for Sparky today. Guys, have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you Tuesday. Well, I'll talk to you down in Milwaukee on Sunday morning for Fantasy Football Weekly. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.